power. All right. Good morning and welcome. Come on in, have a seat, grab your coffee, grab your donuts, and a Bible. We will get to a study of the Bible here shortly. The district, our Central Illinois district, has been after us pastors to share this video with congregations for a while. You can see July 2018 as the revised date, and so I don't think we've done that here. It goes through and shows a lot of the different activities, missions, projects, things like that going on in our district so that congregations are aware of them. I won't do that. It's a 30-minute video. I'm not going to do it all right now because I do want to take some time to study some of our scripture readings for the day. But I want to get into it, get it started so we can continue on with that. The plan is still to begin next Sunday with a look at the documentary type video called Is Genesis History? And it goes through all the different scientific fields and evaluates them from a Christian viewpoint using scientists, doctors who are Christians, and explaining how they look at all of the evidence, all of the facts through the lens of Scripture, especially that of the book of Genesis. If you've ever watched anything by Ken Ham, Answers in Genesis, one of the important videos that he does or presentations he does deals with the worldview concept. We all share the same facts. Okay, all the evidence is the same that's out there. It's how do you interpret it? How do you view it? What's your lens that you're looking at it through? So for Christians who have the Bible and believe the Bible is the Word of God, that is our proper looking at lens of how what's happened in history. And we use the Bible then to teach us what exactly is taking place in those events and to guide us in that understanding. So you'll see that in the video. We're not going to look at all of it at one time. We'll look at a couple segments, break it down, talk about it going throughout the next few weeks. But to kick us off with this first 10 minutes or so of this video, any discussion that might take place, and then we'll dig into the Word of God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the continued celebration of our Lord's resurrection. We pray that you would continue to bless us as we draw closer to the celebration of our Lord's ascension and his receding at the right hand of the Father. We thank you, Lord, for your work of redemption among us as you have gone to the cross for us and delivered that forgiveness of sins in baptism and your supper. We pray that you would guide us in all that we do and say throughout this upcoming week, that you would strengthen us in the faith through the preaching of your word and the reception of this sacrament. And Lord, we pray that you would indeed guide us in our discussion of your word so that our faith in Christ can be strengthened now into life everlasting. We pray for all those who are traveling throughout this week and the summer months ahead. Pray for our farmers as well, that you would allow the proper climate and situation with the weather for the planting to take place in quick and due time. All this we offer up and pray in the name of our Savior. Amen. All right, so again, this is something put on by our district, Central Illinois, regarding all the different activities and ministries that they are undergoing or undertaking. So without further ado.
Our Central Illinois District office is located here in Springfield, Illinois. The central district is made up of 52 of 102 counties in Illinois. More than 2 million people live in our district. About 50% of these people are unchurched. Another 20% or so of this population belongs to a church that never attends. The fields are ripe for harvest. Less than 17% of all people in the central Illinois district are in Christian church any given Sunday. The founding fathers of our Lutheran church said the purpose of our church is to preserve pure doctrine, prepare church workers, and to tell the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His own marvelous light. In just a short while, your circuit visitor will share, along with an informational booklet for you, how our district staff and I are here to help and be of service to you and your congregation in the mission of our Savior Jesus Christ, who suffered for our offenses and rose again for our pardon. Most certainly, whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'd like to share with you the exciting work that we're doing together in the Central Illinois District through your generous mission contribution shared with us. Also, I want to assure you that the mission dollars you entrust to us are well used, and we try to be very good stewards of what you share. About 35% of every dollar your church gives us, we give to Synod for its important mission. Over 50% of what you share goes directly for 15 different missions that we do together in Central Illinois. Over 10% is used for student scholarships for our Central Illinois district, students preparing for full-time church work at one of our concordians, for a gift to each of our two seminaries, and for the support of Camp Silver. Special gifts in a surplus from large gifts in the past will be used up in a couple of years. Unfortunately, those dollars provided for the services and work for our congregation, plus far over it. Our called and deployed mission personnel will tell you about the exciting work that they're doing in proclaiming to their community that God the Father loves them and Jesus Christ died and rose for their salvation. Our Central Illinois District provides for campus ministry to serve our LCMS students, international students, and in-church students at these campuses. This is challenging yet very important work to help our children navigate through this non-Christian world. Hello, my name is Greg Riddell. I'm the Director of Campus Ministry at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Charleston, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran Campus Ministry is known by many as their Christian family away from home. This attitude is nurtured by being part of a residential congregation where students can work hand-in-hand with people of all ages through mercy, witness, and life together. Emmanuel has developed a broad network in this campus community to engage young adults and build relationships. By God's grace, young adults are equipped and empowered to live a life of service, reaching the campus community with the love of Christ. As a family of faith, students gather together with members of Emmanuel for worship. They join in Bible studies we host at our student center, on campus, and with members for intergenerational study. They engage hundreds of students in service through ministries such as Jumpstart to Give, 2020 Vision, and partnership with our local schools and service organizations. We strengthen young adult disciples and raise up new servant leaders for student ministry teams in our mentoring process. We're happy to say the campus ministry legacy lives on for alumni who are leading in churches, careers, and family life as faithful children of God. Our campus ministry is also involved in campus life through residential hall programs, intramural sports, homecoming activities, and peer ministry. These connections build important relationships which provide excellent opportunities to share the gospel. We also have a nicely equipped student center, which is a virtual family room. Students regularly gather there for scheduled events, meals, study, hanging out, and well, simply to share life together. Emmanuel Lutheran Campus Ministry takes great pride in making disciples and developing disciples to be the church today and build the church for tomorrow. Please visit us online at ilcm.info for the rest of the story. Thank you for your support and your valuable partnership in this important mission field.
Hello, I'm Pastor Bill Jensen. I'm the campus pastor and missionary at large at Gutenberg Lutheran Center in Normal, Illinois. During college, many young people are living away from their family and Whitmer Lutheran Center at ISU Normal gladly offers students a church home away from home. God's Word and His sacraments are the center of Christian life at the Burr. It's with this base that we seek to reach out to the local college communities with the love of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is celebrated every Sunday throughout the school year. While school is in session, midweek chapel, non-communion service is also offered. In addition to our Sunday morning Bible study, we hold a midweek evening Bible study that allows both time for peer fellowship and an in-depth study of God's Word. We seek to provide Lutheran worship, service, and social opportunities for students. We enable activities throughout the school year, including service projects, dinners, trips, retreats, and anything else that fosters Christian growth among students. We offer a getaway for relaxation, studies, and recreation. When it's time to hit the books, we have a quiet facility with ample space for uninterrupted study. There's a well-stocked library, a comfortable big-screen TV lounge where we can mingle with friends or choose to engage in some friendly competition at our ping-pong and pool tables. We thank God that He is working through His church in this way, and we thank you for being willing to be His instrument in His service. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Mike Burdick. I serve the Daniel Lutheran Student Center at our home, your campus ministry, with the gospel, reaching the students and the staff at Western Illinois University. When Western's enrollment was booming in the 1960s, our district had the wisdom to provide a dedicated student center for the campus mission there. That has borne great fruit. Since 1981, the student center has been united with Emmanuel Lutheran Church as one ministry with two sites and one pastor. I'm privileged to have been serving there the last 20 years. Each Sunday, students and community members are in worship around the Word and the sacraments. In the past year, we've rejoiced to celebrate the adult baptisms of students from Korea and Illinois, the adult confirmations of students from China and Chicago, and the ongoing Christian education of lifelong Lutheran students from all over the U.S. Each Wednesday night, our church families serve a home-cooked supper to students, followed by a college Bible study. On Thursday and Sunday evenings, our Bible study is intergenerational, which is one of the unique strengths of this campus ministry being coupled with a local congregation. And again this year, our students are going to participate in spring break survey trip. They're going to work together to take care of the building and the grounds of your student center, and they will enjoy simply hanging out together as friends. And while we are thrilled that six men from our campus ministry have entered into the seminary in the past 20 years, it's even better that hundreds of former students are now active members of LCMS churches, raising up children in faith, serving their churches and their communities. You know, you could rightly say that Martin Luther was a campus pastor in Germany 500 years ago. Today, you're carrying on that tradition, and you're helping young people become and be the church in this world full of needs. We walk together in this mission, and we in the home thank you for this support.
Hello, I'm Pastor Rick Miles, serving at the University of Illinois through the University Lutheran Church in Champaign. University Lutheran Church goes back to 1941, when the Central Illinois District began work at the University of Illinois. The church building was constructed in 1951, and not long afterward, the Student Center addition was completed. Many dedicated students helped to get things going in those early days, and since then, thousands of students from the United States and from more than 17 different countries have attended University Lutheran Church. Our church is centered around God's holy word and sacraments. In addition to the divine service, we have Bible study on Sunday mornings and during the week. Confirmation classes for university students are offered too. There's a choir, brass group, and woodwind string group. Each is made up of students pursuing many different majors. Students further give up their time and abilities to take part in spring break service trips, help each other study, provide rides to church, bring friends to church with them, share the good news of Christ through their words and actions, and serve numerous other ways. We also enjoy different going since graduation. Central Illinois District has made all of this possible through its wonderful support, and we are so thankful for our Savior's continual blessings on our work among students at the University of Illinois and Parkland Community College.
All right, we'll stop there. Todd, you can hit the lights for me. Thank you. Any questions or comments about anything you saw there for today? Pastor Miles, of course, you probably know pretty well. His wife, Martha, was a teacher here at our school for many years. Pastor Miles is actually retiring this year, this summer. So July 28th will be his last Sunday over at University Lutheran, having a big event for him that afternoon following the service, but I think also a gathering the day before as well. So if you know Pastor Miles, then one of your last chances to see him in full capacity there, but they plan to stay in the area, so hopefully we can utilize him here a little bit as well. But anyway, anything on any of that? Jim, yeah.
Pastor, I know Pastor Miller mentioned that the Central Illinois District is a lot of the gifts that they've been given that have been sustaining them over the years is are dwindling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we attended the conference last year, last summer, you know, they kind of told that to the attendees. I don't think a lot of maybe our members realize that a lot of our giving to the Central Illinois District are used for this, and that's there are some congregations that have, through declining membership, haven't kept up with their giving to the Central Illinois District. I think it's just something that we should consider as far as every year.
Sure.
Trying to, if we can, increase some of our giving,
right,
for some of these important programs.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's always room to probably give even a little bit more. You'll find out here that a lot of what the district does, some other, or I think we have the next clip coming up was about deaf ministry. We're the last district in the Senate to still have a deaf ministry funded by the district. So that's unique in that way. Campus ministry, we support four different campus ministries throughout our district, which is a significant cost as well, full-time pastors serving in those capacities. So a lot of different things that we do in that regard. And, I mean, we're blessed in this community to be near the University of Illinois. The mission field gets brought near to us here. We have contact with a lot of different people from all over the world. So God can work through those campus ministries in that way. Yeah, Bill?
It doesn't pertain directly to this sermon.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I got the email that the chainsaw teams were called out to clean up debris and stuff like that. So that's part of the LERT training. If you're LERT certified, Lutheran Early Response Teams, when things like that happen, then they can be called into action. They have specialized teams. That's the chainsaw team. So only if you're trained in that, certified in that, were you able to go on that one. But yeah, it's a lot of different things. That one's not even funded by the district. It's all just based on the registrations that they get in. So, yes.
I just want to say, I'm wondering what it is that Central Illinois District is doing this. In my previous work in life,
tell me your name again.
Jill.
And Jill is in charge of deaconess studies at the seminary in St. Louis. So she's here visiting this weekend just to be with us today. So we're thankful for that word. You said it was New Mexico that you were in, that they didn't have any campus support. Now that's what district? Oh, that's the Rocky Mountain District, huh? Okay, yeah. So we're blessed to have things like that ongoing, and so money that we send to the district directly supports those things. So that's kind of the idea, too. You know, you think, oh, what are we doing out in the world? we're doing that. You know, when we support our district, support the synod, our district and synod, that's why we have a synod. So we as local congregations have a way to reach out into the world at large, where as one congregation, there's not much anybody can do, but pooled together with a district, with the synod, that's how we are able to make, you know, greater impact. So that's why it's a good thing for sure to give our tithes, our offerings, part of that anyway, to the district. Okay, good. Anything else? All right, then we'll take a quick look here. I have John 16 up. Does anybody have a strong preference what they want to look at, scripture reading-wise, for the day? Yeah, we're getting a good dose of John 16. This is the conclusion of the Upper Room Discourse. Again, the longest stretch in any of the Gospels for that night. Of course, we know this is the same night Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples, but he's also busy preparing them for his departure, for his exodus, his crucifixion. So he wants them to be as ready as possible, but knowing he's basically planting the seeds, right? Because they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand everything he's saying at that point. But once everything's happened, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and then the Holy Spirit comes, that's when all things will be made clear to them. And Jesus says that earlier on in that chapter, that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes and guide them into all truth. So to the text for today, beginning at 23, it kind of ends the section from before, your sorrow being turned into joy. But the last two verses there, in that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Till now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And we've talked a little bit about this before, and of course in the sermon for today as well, but important to understand what that means in Jesus' name, whatever we ask in his name. Again, it's not just a tagline. It's not a requirement for every ending of prayer, but we often do that, right? We throw that on there in Jesus' name as though now everything we've said is guaranteed to take place, or this is what God expects us to do. To do something in the name of anybody is to do what? I mean, what does that mean to do anything in somebody's name? Who usually does that? Okay, lawyers. And not just lawyers. We get this, anybody speaking for anybody else, right? So you're given a message. You are to deliver that message. You're speaking, you're acting in that person's name. We know this is very important when it comes to the president of our country, right? He has people that stand up and speak on his behalf, that represent him, ambassadors, things like that, secretaries who are supposed to represent who he is and what he's about. So this is the idea. It's not just that you always say, this is the name I'm speaking or I'm representing, but you are, everything is consistent with who that individual is, okay? And thankfully, for us, we are in the name of Jesus, we know already through baptism, right? So baptism is our gift from God that gives us the forgiveness of sins, our life, and salvation. So when we ask or do anything in Jesus' name, it's connected with our baptism. Okay, and so it should be reflective then of salvation. What does Jesus want for this world? Does he really expect you to have all this money, to have all this fame and success, all of these cars, all of this notoriety? Is that really what's necessary for the kingdom, for salvation? Okay, and of course that would be a no, okay? Most likely, anyway. Okay, so Jesus says that to his disciples, and he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. So what do you think that means, until now they've not done that? Yeah. Okay. Jesus has been doing it for them since he's there, and everything he's doing is Jesus, is salvation, but especially then his coming death upon the cross. If we're talking about eternal life and salvation, that's the essence of Christianity that hasn't happened yet. Jesus hasn't died. So they can't pray yet in his name in that sense because his death and resurrection hasn't yet occurred. But asking you will receive that your joy may be full. Trust in Christ, in his power and his salvation on the cross, and that's where this giving and receiving will take place. Okay, we talk about this with prayer especially. What is prayer? I mean, how do we define prayer?
Heart-to-heart talk with God.
Okay, heart-to-heart talk with God. We often use that, yeah, as a way to empty ourselves out to him. Okay, let our thoughts, our prayers be known to him. Okay, what else is prayer? Or how are we supposed to pray? We say in Jesus' name. Again,
give thanks to the Lord.
Okay, give thanks to the Lord. Okay, we teach the kids with the ACTS acronym, right? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then supplication. Okay. A prayer before God, when we pray in Jesus' name, asking you will receive that your joy may be full. God knows our prayers even before we ask them. We hear this in the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer, Luther's explanation. So prayer is an opportunity for us to think like God, right? He knows what we're going to ask before we pray, and so we want to pray what he expects us to pray. What is God after? What is Jesus looking for? What needs to take place in this life? First and foremost, that God's name be kept holy, that his kingdom comes here on earth, and that his will is done as it is in heaven. Okay, so we remember, oh, what is God looking for? What is he seeking to accomplish? That's prayer in Jesus' name. And so he says there, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Well, what greater joy is there than in knowing you have salvation, right? When you have that in your mind, you're praying with the mind of Christ for salvation, your joy is complete in that. Okay, so the joy is then full. Love here that Jesus continues saying, talking in figures of speech, in other words, parables, to his disciples. The Greek word there is the paroimia or paroimiais. Okay, speaking in parables, the hour is coming when I'll no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. Is that a parable? A figure of speech? Okay, the day you will ask in my name, I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So important there too. God, Jesus intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus is our mediator. And yet Jesus says it's not that I'm going to speak to God for you, but now you get to speak to the Father through me. And we pray this, right? Luther's evening or morning and evening prayers. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, right? We get to talk directly to God the Father because of Jesus. Okay? I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving this world and going to the Father. And what is this predicting? It's death and resurrection, right? Going back to the transfiguration. Where Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus there on the mount, what are they talking about? His exodus, right? His death upon the cross, right? So he is predicting again that this will take place. I've come from the Father, have come into the world, but now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. This is the intent, right? The Son of God comes from the Father by God's plan, lives his life perfectly for us, and will leave the world by his death upon the cross, and ultimately then his ascension back to the Father. And then God bless these disciples, right? What's their response? Oh, it's ide even. That's good. From idu, adon, behold, look, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Is that what you would have concluded with Jesus' last words there? Is that clear as day, what he just said? Doesn't sound like it, but they think it is. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. What does that sound like? Thomas? How so? No, Thomas will certainly do that, yes. Okay. Now we know that you know all things. Anybody ever said that to you? Not genuinely, right? You're almost as smart as everyone says you think you are. That always sticks in my head from a show a long, long time ago, right? We think we know all things, but no one's ever said, yes, you know all things. If they did and meant it, that'd be high praise, right? And so this is pretty important, pretty powerful, but almost like they're buttering him up, right? Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. Why wouldn't you question someone who knows all things, right? Now, questioning in this sense probably of, are you legitimate or not? Testing him out. They know he knows all things. He's come from the Father. They're willing to believe all this. This is why we believe you came from God. Okay, so this is a pretty big admission. Again, though, this is the night before Jesus' death. Celebration of the Passover has taken place. Probably the institution of the Lord's Supper already at hand. Okay, and Jesus has said he's going to leave them. And a lot of emotions, big roller coaster, ups and downs throughout this night before Jesus' death. So much for the disciples to process and to go through. And Jesus answers, do you now believe? Behold, look, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. So the hour, again, going back to the beginning of John, the hour, my hour has not yet come, talking about his coming death, his passion. It has already come. Now, it doesn't mean he's died yet, but they're at that point now. Okay, so the buildup is concluding. Okay, Jesus will ultimately go to the cross the next day. And the hour has come indeed when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Okay, so what happens with Jesus' crucifixion? Disciples leave. Okay, only one is found near the cross, and that's John, okay, to whom Jesus gives his mother for care. The other ones are gone. Even after the prayer in the garden, okay, we see all of them flee. We have John talk about Peter being present in the court or trying to be present at the trial of Jesus. Okay, so Peter has some access there because of John. That's where the denials of Jesus take place by Peter. But no other knowledge of any other disciples at the trial of Jesus, certainly not at his crucifixion. And they will leave him alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Yeah, what does Jesus say from the cross? Why have you forsaken me? Right? So we know that that forsakenness takes place. God turns his back on his son because his son is sin in the flesh. And this is what the just God must do. Is he abandoned? Is Jesus alone in that way? Okay, he's still, last words from the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And so even though God has forsaken him, there's no other place for Jesus to commend himself but to the Father. Okay, so even then, he knows he is not alone. God is with him and will truly raise him up from the dead. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. Right? This is what Jesus wants for his disciples, to have peace. It starts off in John 14, the very beginning of, or close to the beginning of this upper room discourse. Believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay? Lots going to take place that will challenge that, that will make their hearts be troubled. But Jesus says, you can have peace still in me. That's gonna, their world's going to get rocked, right? They've got Jesus with them, have had him for several years. He's going to suffer and die upon the cross, be treated harshly as a criminal. Okay? And no one's going to stand up for him. No justice will be served. The innocent man, Jesus, will die. Okay? And they'll be left alone. So much will challenge their faith. and they will struggle, and yet Jesus says, in him you have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Tribulation. Sounds like a nice word, right? Like jubilation, but it's not. Tribulation is like trials. Trials and tribulations, difficulties, right? So you will have trouble. Tribulation. Hey, what's, how so? What will happen?
Persecution.
Yeah. Right? They will persecute you just as they persecuted me. Right? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my name's sake. They will do so just as they did to the prophets who were before you. Okay? Jesus gives them encouragement. He does speak to them and say, do not worry about what you will say beforehand when you stand before kings and governors. Okay? The Spirit will give you the words to say, speaking to his disciples. Okay? You have that comfort. You have that peace. Okay? You'll have tribulation. You're going to endure great difficulty, great stress and trial. But take heart. Be of good courage. Okay? Greek word here is tharseo. Take heart. Be courageous. Okay? Have courage. Take heart. Why? Victory. Right? That's our word. We talked about, a newsletter article for, I think it was May, talking about Nike, right? The Nika word that's on the host that hold up for the consecration of the element. Okay, Nika, word for victory, conqueror. Okay, so Jesus Christ is the victor. Okay, we say the Christus victor. Okay, he has overcome the world. This is before his crucifixion. Okay, how has he done this? Yeah.
Living a perfect life.
Okay. Living a perfect life, not falling for the snares, the traps of the religious leaders or the Roman authority.
Preaching the truth,
right? The very fact that he is God in the flesh, he's been born into this world. Okay, this is unlike anything before. Satan, the evil forces, they don't know what to make of this. Don't know what to do with this. Okay, but Jesus has overcome the world. It's a perfect tense here. So I have overcome it and continue on in overcoming it. Okay, so it's an ongoing result of what he is going to do and sets the stage for the cross, right? The worst sin and death could throw at Jesus, he suffers on the cross and then rises up victorious, defeats it. Okay. Questions, comments on any of the text? John 16. Okay, that concludes then with the high priestly prayer. Jesus then prays, we think, right before the disciples so that they're witnesses of this. John, of course, hears this and documents this for us. It's a prayer on behalf of his disciples, praying for them. Okay, even though he just says, it's not that I'm going to be praying to God or asking God for you, and yet here we have the high priestly prayer, right? So this is a prayer. Truly to look at and to study and say, well, how should I pray? What should I be thinking? What should I be doing, expecting as Christ's follower in this life? Okay, so truly poignant time, very intimate, Jesus and his disciples, that night of his betrayal, a celebration of the Lord's Supper instituted for the first time, and that they should take that, receive that regularly in remembrance of Jesus. And that's why we do it as well, intimate time with our Savior, already with the unity we have in the faith, and that's, of course, something we get to have fellowship and enjoy as brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, let's close with prayer. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Go in peace.